Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is the Gospel written in Luke 10, 25 to 37. And the topic for today is the Good Samaritan. Lord, make us holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, it's a pretty good and important question, isn't it, that the lawyer asks Jesus in today's account. He asks a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And this is a question that is on the tips of people's tongues all over the world. I say that with a bit of confidence because Eileen, my wife, who's present with us today, and I have recently had the privilege of visiting China. And although China is officially a communist, non-religious country, places we went to reminded us of people's hope of eternal life. There are the famous terracotta warriors, which were all built to protect the emperor at that time in the afterlife. There are gardens called the Garden of Eternal Life and things like that. So there are hints of the hope of eternal life just about everywhere you turn, even though it's officially a non-religious atheist country. Anyway, what is the answer that Jesus is going to give to this question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus, as he often does, turns around and asks the lawyer who's speaking to him a question in return. He says, well, what are the great commandments? And the lawyer finds that fairly easy question to answer. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the next one is, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus says, well, do this and you will live. The lawyer doesn't want to be look silly, so he asks another question, by which he hopes to trick Jesus in some way. And who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour? And here we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan. I would think this is just about the best known parable in the whole New Testament. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Just about everybody knows the expression, the Good Samaritan, and just about everybody knows the story. But we'll just recap briefly on what happens. A man is travelling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when he falls amongst thieves who strip him and rob him and leave him lying by the side of the road, half dead. But there is a glimmer of hope because down the road comes a very religious person, a priest. And this is a stroke of luck, hopefully, for the man lying by the side of the road. Surely a priest will stop and help, but no. He pretends not to notice and keeps going famously on the other side of the road. Now, there is another glimmer of hope. Here is a Levite, a pretty religious person as well. Surely I can't be unlucky twice. But yes, he is unlucky twice. The Levite also passes by on the other side. And would you believe it? A third person is now coming down the road. But this person holds no hope whatsoever. He is a Samaritan. Now, the hatred between Jews and Samaritans was mutual. Jews hated Samaritans, Samaritans hated Jews, so there was virtually no hope of anything good happening in this situation. Yet, in the parable that Jesus tells, the Samaritan sees the Jewish enemy, if you like, lying by the side of the road and is filled with compassion for him. His heart goes out to him. Here is a poor man lying by the side of the road, beaten, stripped, and half dead. And he feels compassion, pity, and sorrow for the fellow human being. Jesus then asks the lawyer, he doesn't just tend to him and feel sorry for him. He cradles him in his arms as he bathes his wounds with oil and wine. Then he puts him on his beast, a donkey we assume, and takes him carefully all the way to the next town, where he takes him to an inn and provides some money, 2 days' pay, to the innkeeper and says, look after this man, and when I return, I will pay you anything else that you spend on him. And Jesus asks the lawyer, who proved to be his neighbour? The answer was obvious. The one who showed mercy on him. The one who showed compassion. And then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, friends, in telling this parable, Jesus knows that being like the Good Samaritan is beyond us. He knows that we are sinners and that we are selfish by nature, and that it's not likely that we are going to go and help to the utmost every person who comes across or comes into our path. There's another thing that Jesus is pointing out in this event as well, and that is that prejudice is wrong. You see, Jesus is really stirring up those people listening to him by telling them that the good one was not the two Jewish religious figures, but it was the Samaritan, the hated one, the person that we all despise. He was the good one. He was the kind one. He was the compassionate one. And Jesus is rubbing it in. I'm sick of your loving only people who are just like you. I'm sick of you despising people like the Samaritans just because they're slightly different and so on. And so he's saying the same to us today. Don't just like people who are like yourselves. Don't you have the same kind of prejudices that the Jews had against the Samaritans? Do you even consider some people as people whom Jesus loved? Doesn't he just like people like us? No, he doesn't. He loves all people. What is it that we don't like about some people? Is it their race, perhaps? We don't want to admit it, but might it be their race? Might it be their religion? We see somebody who's of a different religion. Do we immediately dislike them? What about their customs? They don't live in exactly the same way we do. Do we dislike them for that reason? What about their sexuality? just because it's not our sexuality, do we despise them because of it? What about if they differ on a theological topic? Is that enough for us to dislike them, talk about them, even hate them, because they have a different opinion on a theological topic? I think we would have to say, yes, yes, yes. We are all guilty of doing what Jesus dislikes, and that's despising people who are different to us. The truth is that none of us are good Samaritans. None of us can walk out of here today and say, thank God that I'm like the good Samaritan. I love everyone who comes into my path, no matter what their religion, no matter what their race, etc. The truth is that in the journey of life, where we are hoping to go from this earth to heaven, just like the man in the account was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, we are hoping to go from here to heaven, but we have struck trouble. And the trouble is our sinful selves. We have collapsed on the side of the road. We are there bleeding and half dead. Our hope of making it to heaven under our own steam is zero. But there is somebody that we tend to reject, someone that the human race rejected right from the start and right through his life. Someone a bit like the Good Samaritan who comes along the road and sees our lack of hope and comes and helps us. And that person is, of course, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was actually rejected so much by the human race that when he was born, he was put into a stable. That was our treatment of the true Good Samaritan. We put him in a stable. We didn't even give him a room to be born in. And now he takes us to the inn and provides for us. He picks us up from where we're lying on the side of the road, even though we don't deserve it. And he takes us to the inn. He takes us to his church, where he gives us comforting words and where he gives us the sacraments as well. His love is great. His compassion is great. What a wonderful person that Good Samaritan is to us. We didn't deserve it, but he rescued us. Sometimes I like looking, or I'm asked to choose the hymns for the service, and sometimes I like to try and find, well, usually I like to try and find hymns that are about the topic of the service or the sermon. And today I couldn't find a hymn about the Good Samaritan in particular. You'd think there would be, wouldn't you? Such a famous parable, you'd think there'd be a hymn about the Good Samaritan, but I couldn't find one in a hymn book. But I do like the hymn, in fact, it was one of our wedding hymns, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. In about the fifth line it says, Jesus, thou art all compassion. Jesus, thou art all compassion. And that's the word used in my account of this parable. The Good Samaritan had compassion. Jesus, thou art all compassion. What beautiful words. Jesus saw us lying by the side of the road. He picked us up. He took us to the inn. He assured us that we would be safe and cared for. And when he comes back, he will take us to eternal life. One song that does remind me a little bit about the Good Samaritan is the blind man stood by the road and he cried. It's only a very simple song in one of the Altogether books. The blind man stood by the road and he cried, show me the way to go home. The crippled man lay by the road and he cried, show me the way to go home. I think they sat by the road, actually. And then Jesus stood by the road and he cried, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way to go home. So in a way, that captures the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan came and took us home. But would you believe it, after I had basically completed this sermon, I looked up on the internet the Good Samaritan hymn, and I found a hymn or a poem by John Newton, who was the hymn writer who wrote probably the most popular hymn in the world. I think someone said it, Amazing Grace. And he's got a hymn about the Good Samaritan, and it seems appropriate to read it here today. I didn't know whether it was too late to have it as a hymn when I discovered it. And this is his poem. How kind the Good Samaritan to him who fell among the thieves. Thus Jesus pities fallen man and heals the wounds the soul receives. Oh, I remember well the day when sorely wounded, nearly slain, like that poor man, I bleeding lay and groaned for help, but groaned in vain. Men saw me in this helpless case and passed without compassion by. Each neighbour turned away his face, unmoved by my mournful cry. But he whose name had been my scorn, as Jews Samaritans despise, came when he saw me thus forlorn, with love and pity in his eyes. Gently he raised me from the ground, pressed me to lean upon his arm, and into every gaping wound he poured his own all-healing balm. Unto his church my steps he led, the house prepared for sinners lost, gave charge I should be clothed and fed, and took upon him all the cost. Thus saved from death, from want secured, I wait till he again shall come, when I shall be completely cured, and take me to his heavenly home. There, through eternal, boundless days, when nature's wheel no longer rolls, how shall I love, adore and praise this good Samaritan to souls? It's included in a book of hymns produced in 1779 and written by John Newton, who also wrote Amazing Grace. So, in conclusion, dear friends, the lawyer had asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the important answer that Jesus gave was to help us remember and know what Jesus has done to give us eternal life. The lawyer asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered, this is what I have done to win you eternal life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.